says, "The Lord has set life and death before you. Choose life." It is a multiple choice question, and that's what he tells us to do. I have the great privilege and honor to read the scripture today. It's from Acts 2, verses 43 through 47, and I mentioned to William, the title of the scripture that I'm about to read is called Life Among the Believers. Listen for the word of God. "Awe came upon everyone, because many wonders and signs were being done by the apostles. All who believed were together and had all things in common. They would sell their possessions and goods and distribute the proceeds to all as any had need. Day by day, as they spent much time together in the temple, they broke bread at home and ate their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having the goodwill of all the people. And day by day, the Lord added to their number those who were being saved." And this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
The distinguishing mark of the church in Acts chapter 2 was generosity. That's right. Generosity, the distinguishing mark of the Acts chapter 2 church. Day by day, as they spent time together in the temple, they broke bread at home and ate their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having the goodwill of all the people. Their generosity was expressed through worship, which is loving God. Their generosity was expressed through service, which was loving people. And that says it all, doesn't it? Isn't that what we're about as a church? Loving God and loving people? You know, we're called to increase the love of God and the love of neighbor in this world. Basically, that's why God has called us together and commissioned us to go into all the world. And so this early church, living the gospel, practiced generosity in all things, in loving God and in loving people. Now, someone said this, and I don't really know who said it, so I'll just say an unknown person said this, but it's true. You can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. Think about it. John 3:16, God so loved the world that he just thought, wow, that's a great feeling I have. No. God so loved the world that he gave his only son. We can give without loving, but we cannot love without giving. And it was the generosity of that church that attracted people. Come look at these people who live such generous lives, worshiping God, serving others. It was what attracted people to the church. And that last line in the scripture that Polly read, "And day by day, the Lord added to their number those who were being saved." Have you ever thought about that? Perhaps the greatest outreach that we have is not some program or some great idea we come up with about how to reach people, but perhaps the greatest outreach that we have is our generosity, our practice love of giving to those in need around us. And of course, that's what they did. Now, in Acts chapter 2, verse 42, right before the scripture that Polly read, it goes like this. "They held all things in common, and they would sell their possessions if needed and give the proceeds to anyone who had a need, such that there was no one in their midst who had a need." Does everybody have enough this morning? Does anybody have a need? hey, do you have something he needs? You have something she needs? Otis said this one time. Everybody has something that someone else needs. And so the early church practiced that. They said, well, I've got that. I'll give that. I need this. Hey, thank you. You can share that. That attracts people in a world of greed and selfishness. A giving church. A generous church. And so I've thought about this. What is needed today is not a better argument for the gospel of Jesus Christ. What is needed is a better demonstration of what it means to believe it. Because when we believe it, we practice generosity. And that's basically the message today. But then I wanted to think of an example that I could share with you. Something that I know has been true about God's people and about the generosity of God's people. It's an amazing story. It's a simple story. It's a true story. About how a church of God in Cabarrus County was gathering for worship one Sunday morning and they discovered there was a basket on the front steps of the church. And in that basket was a baby. This was many, 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 many years ago. Someone had taken their baby and left it at the front door of the church. An abandoned baby. Well, as they gathered, they began to say, well, what is that? Well, it's a baby. Well, what can we do with this baby? He's need a home. Yeah, as a matter of fact, not just this baby, but a lot of babies need a home. And so do some boys and girls. They need a home too, who don't have fathers and mothers. There's lots of people who need a home. This baby needs a home. Well, what can we do? Basically, they were meal village people. They didn't have a lot of money. They didn't have a lot of stuff. But they had a lot of love. And they believed that that need was brought to their doorstep because God was going to do something through them to meet that need. And they went to work on it. And through that church, and because they cared for that baby, an orphanage was built that housed many children over the years. But what makes this so special is I know one of the people who lived at that orphanage. He's a member of this church. And what's also special about his story is that he was not an orphan. His father was a Church of God preacher, and they asked him to be the presiding leader over the orphanage. And so Jack's father, Church of God pastor, was so-called shepherd of the orphanage. And Jack Stone grew up in an orphanage, in a home that was big enough to include those who had none. That's a demonstration of what it means to believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's a demonstration of what it is that we believe when we practice and put into place generosity. Extravagant love of God and worship. We can't do enough in worship to say thank you to God. We offer Him our best prayers and songs, and we come to worship and we lift up the very best that we have to say thank you to God. And that in itself attracts people. But not only that, but we gather together and we extravagantly love one another here and in the community. But that's what we're about. And I'd like to ask this question. What could our church do if we truly practice generosity of loving people around us in the community, downtown Cary, and then working its way outward and outward and outward and outward and outward? That's the excitement of this church these days. Is that we believe that God's going to do something great and amazing, but He can only do it through His people when they open their hearts up in generosity, and the generosity of God's people and God's power does great things. And so I'm mindful about how many things have been done here in the past, are being done now, because people have gotten together and they shared what they had. Tonight we're opening up our church for persons to sleep here. It used to be called the Wake Interfaith Network, I believe, but now it's called Family Priority, in which persons who have been, you might want to say, temporarily homeless, have been given a place through churches that provide a shelter, a place for them to sleep, and some meals, while during the week, persons work with them about helping them get a job, helping them to be able to go back and live in a home or an apartment somewhere that's self-sustaining. And that's going on tonight. There are many things that are going on now, but yet I think about this. What might be going on when we go through our building program and when we have facilities that can open it, that can be opened more and more and more to the community, to mission teams that come and go. It's going to be exciting, but here's the challenge. Challenge is you and I probably have already received a pledge card. And I was just thinking about how, you know, what we put down on a pledge card really represents the condition of our hearts. And when we have glad and generous hearts, our pledge is a pledge of extravagant love of whatever amount. But it is a participation in the joy of giving. It is a participation in the joy of serving. It is a participation in the joy of loving. And so, when we come to that time of filling out our pledge, it could be that we know we do not have glad and generous hearts. You know what? God does not punish us for that. That's what we think He does. We don't operate out of guilt. We operate out of grace. What God would like to do for you and for me, if we examine our hearts and find that our hearts are not glad and not generous, what God wants to do for us to show us more of Himself and more of His love and more of His forgiveness and more of His goodness and more of His kindness. And if you will begin looking for it in your life, you will find it. Because God will manifest His goodness to you in a way that is personal, convincing, and life transforming. Try it out. Say, God, this is the condition of my heart. Would you change it? God has ways of doing something in your heart that causes you to be transformed. You see, there's just some people that can't help but give because they know they can't outgive God. And I was in a church one day when it came time for the offering, and everyone stood, and the pastor said, "We're having the offering, and here are the baskets. Form a line and come forward and put your offering in the basket." And then they started playing an upbeat song. And I thought, man, that's pretty good. Did I have something to put in there? Got it in line, came up, put it in there, and everybody's clapping. Said, "Amen, hallelujah." Got back to the seat and they said, "Now let's do it again. Get back up, get in line again." The choir got going. I'm going, "Whoa, whoa, what's going on here?" Somebody shouted, "You can't outgive God." And I said, "I came to the right church today because I need some of this. I need that spirit. That spirit that says you can't outgive God. So whatever it is that I give, it is but a response to all that God has given me. I want a glad and generous heart." And some days I don't have that, but on those days I ask God to transform my heart. And He always does. Perhaps you need your heart transformed today. Perhaps there's something in your life you have a heavy need with. Polly and I will be glad to pray with you. But I want you to think about this when it comes time to fill out your pledge card. Examine your heart. Let us stand.